In 2012, we had our wonderful group sort of swooped in, and we had what we called the proprioception panel. And most of you were here. And we just basically, I was somewhat of the organizer. I've just always been, ever since I was in my 20s, just fascinated with these three pages. And I decided through relationship and longtime friendship that I would invite all my friends to come and sit at the table and discuss about what it all means from various disciplines, from various, you know, writers, painters, scholars, and because most of my training is in dance, I'm just very struck by proprioception from a movement perspective.
Can you define it for some people who haven't been here?
Well, we're going to. I'm just giving a little intro.
Okay.
Because
can I ask you something? Being from New York and having seen Meredith Monk work in the 60s, is anything to do with Meredith Monk's type of choreography and work?
Only if you bring it in.
You know.
So right now, what we're going to be talking about is more. Well, we're going to focus on the poem. So what I wanted to do tonight, and then maybe carry it through to into November, is to really just right now read the poem. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you're, you know, how expert of a Charles Olsonian you are. And then, without me putting forth any theories yet, which I did throw out this summer a little bit, just start talking. And I will feed in some of these ideas that have developed over these two summers of proprioception. And then we'll take a little break. And then here's where you all are going to help me do the research, which is I'd like to, from our talking, I'd like to share with you an experiment, two or three explorations that have to do with movement, and see what we come up with. It's sort of like, this is like a research lab. So I don't know if... We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask you to go around one more time, say your name, and feel where you're sitting, where you are.
Feel it. Okay. Susan.
Sarah.
Margie.
Bernadine.
Pat.
Virginia.
Joseph.
Lois.
Diane.
Elizabeth.
The most comfortable seat in the house.
Henry.
Get up.
Kate. Wait, no.
Yeah.
Kate. You know, I teach little kids, or I've been teaching little kids for a long, long time. And, you know, with little kids, at the beginning of the year, one of the most important things is to get them to say their name and to introduce themselves to each other and to their new teacher and so on. I teach dance to little movement to little kids, and it's so enlightening to watch a five-year-old reveal how it is that we all still feel when we say our name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like, you want to get it over with, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I studied with Bonnie Cohen, who was a movement and life philosophy teacher of mine, some of the work that we're going to do here tonight is inspired by the work I did with her. She would do that, where people would go around and say their names, and she'd say, now, say your name, you know. So that is a proprioceptive experience. In my mind, it's like it's the beginning of knowing where you are. So tonight, what I had said to the first to the first group is that I really this meeting tonight and the one that will come in November is an outgrowth of two. Presentations, more prepared presentations that were given here at the Writers' Center, summer of 2012 and summer of 2013, about the idea of proprioception and also about Charles's poem slash manual slash...
Some people may not know who Charles is.
Okay, well, Charles, do you want to tell them?
Could you give the title of the book also, even though he wrote it? What's the title?
Proprioception.
That's it.
Yeah. The other stuff is something else, which we're not going to talk about.
Charles Olson was a poet who wrote about Gloucester and created this other world from this place. And he wrote a lot of essays in his life, philosophical. I don't know if people would agree with the fact that it was philosophical, but I feel that it was, and about the power of being in a place, in a specific geographical place.
And he lived here.
And he lived here.
And he lived here.
Henry made a movie, and I had to watch it in 10 parts, Polis, which really helps out his name. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, this book, two summers ago, I held this book up and I said, you know, I've been carrying this book around since I was 21. And one of the people and a friend of mine, Michael Peters, who was on the proprioception panel that we had here, you know, he used the term manual, that this is a manual. And I had never quite thought of it that way, but it is. And it also, because it's a manual, it requires returning to it again and again and studying it. So this summer I discussed with Henry what I call the GWC Angels, the Gloucester Writer Center Angels, Henry and Annie Thomas. I said, this isn't finished. You know, can we have, this is not a class, but it's a workshop, a laboratory to discuss these ideas, which on the one hand, there are some people in this room who've read a lot of Olson and maybe studied a lot about proprioception, which we'll see there's different avenues of what that is. But then there's other people who have not. And so the way I want to do this in these two Wednesdays that we're doing this, November 13th and tonight, is I want to just cold turkey be where you are with your name, and we'll read this poem together and have a discussion before any expert theories or whatever, before some of the ideas that I want to share with you have been long thought about, but they haven't all been tested. So I'm kind of, if you will join me in experimenting. So some of this I don't know what I'm doing, and I want your feedback. So have an idea what I'm doing. So we had this, it was actually quite beautiful to hear you read.
Thank you. And
I think this does need to be read out loud. And so since we have this a wonderful number of people, why doesn't everybody read a paragraph in whatever way you feel you would like to? Standing up, sitting down, yelling, whispering.
Proprioception. Physiology. The surface senses the skin of human universe, the body itself proper, one's own corpus. Proprioception, the cavity of the body in which the organs are slung, the viscera, are the interoceptive, the old psychology of feeling, the heart of desire, the liver of sympathy, the bowels of courage, kidneys, etc., gall. Stasis, or as in Chaucer only spoofed. Today,
today, movement at any cost. Kinesthesia, beat Nick the sense whose end organs lie in the muscles, tendons, joints, and are stimulated by bodily tensions or relaxations of the same. Violence, knives, anything to get the body in.
To which proprioception, the data of depth sensibility,
the body of us as object, which spontaneously or of its own order produces experience of depth. Vis-a-vis sensibility within the organism by movement of its own tissues.
Psychology. The surface consciousness as ego enough no flow because the senses of same are all that
said
contact area is valuable for. To report into central inspection, followed hard on heels by judgment, judicum, thatha, cry. If you must, all feeling may flow is all which can count. At said point, direction outward is sorrow or joy, or participation, active social life, like for no other reason than that social life in the present, wash the ego out in its own bath.
I need your glasses. Can I spar them?
Sorry.
That's okay.
I don't have. The cavity / cave, probably the unconscious, that is the interior empty place filled with organs for functions. Should I keep going?
Sure.
The advantage is to place the thing instead of it wallowing around, sort of outside in the universe, like when the experience of it is introspective. It is inside us, at the same time does not feel literally identical with our own physical or mortal self. In this sense,
Likewise,
the heart, etc., the small intestine, or can be felt as, and literally, they can be transferred or substituted for the organs. Probably also why old psychology was chiefly
visceral.
Visceral. Thank you. Neither dream nor the unconscious was the known as such, or outwardly inside, like
action, or again movement. This demonstration then leads to the same third, our corpus, thing, our place, the postures.
Proprius? Proprius?
Proprioception.
One's own conception.
The body itself, as by movement of its own tissues, given the data of death, here, then, would be what is left out of what is
physiologically,
even the hard, solid, pliable, that one's life is informed from, and by one's own literal body as well. That is, as the whole inner mechanism which keeps us so damn busy, like eating, sleeping, urinating, dying there, by deterioration of
said functions
of said organs, that this missing between, which is what gets buried, like the flesh, bones, muscles, ligaments, and so forth, what one uses literally to get about, etc.
Let's have someone else read from that.
Oh, that, okay.
I borrow your glasses? No. Close. One set of glasses, one family. The other night I had to read my own book, thanks to Henry and Annie, and that was the same thing.
We're on a fixed income. We have a.
You can get it. You can get it. Yeah,
that this is central. That is, in this one half of the picture, what they call the soul, the intermediary, intervening thing, the interceptor.
Interrupter.
Well, the resistor, the self.
We do need more light.
The gain to have a third term so that movement or action is home. Neither the unconscious nor projection there. Projection here used to remove the false opposition of consciousness is self, to have a home, unless the depth implicit in physical being, built in space-time specifics, and moving by movement of its own, is asserted or found out as such. Thus, the advantage of the value, proprioception, as such.
The soul, then, is equally physical, is the self, is such corpus, or, to levy the game psychology from 1900 or 1885, did supply, until it didn't, date 1948, the three terms would be surface, senses, projection, cavity, organs, hear, read, archetypes, unconscious, the body itself, consciousness, implicit accuracy from its own energy as a state of implicit motion.
Wow. Identity, therefore, the universe is one, is supplied, and the abstract primitive character of the real, asserted, is placed. Projection is discrimination of the object from the subject, and the unconscious is the universe flowing in. Inside.
Okay. Now, if you can keep sharing, you're not going to get to me.
Susan has to interpret the whole time.
Next you. You can. I'm going to read this out loud while you just listen or read along. So.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. I'm going to read it out loud.
Mm-hmm. But I don't get to read anything.
Nope.
You're doing the camera work, Henry.
You want to read it with me?
Oh, that would be interesting.
Well, let him read it a third time.
Come over here.
We've never rehearsed this.
No, we're going to do it.
Good.
We're gonna punch it home here.
All right. On three?
On three. One, two. Wait, we'll skip these.
We'll skip these?
Yeah,
all right,
okay.
Good idea. How about the title?
We'll skip the title.
All right.
Okay, here we go. The
surface
senses.
The
skin
of
the
human
universe.
The body itself. Proper.
One's
own corpus.
Proprioception.
The cavity of the body in
which
the
organs
are slung.
The
viscera
or
interceptive.
The
old psychology
of feeling.
The heart.
Of desire.
The
liver
of
sympathy, the
bowels
of courage,
kidney,
etc.
Gall.
Stasis,
or
as in Chaucer, only spoofed.
I don't get that literary.
Me neither. We need to study that.
Yeah.
Today,
movement
at any
cost.
Kinesthesia.
Beatnik.
The
sense whose
end
organs
lie
in the
muscles,
tendons,
joints,
and
are
stimulated by
bodily
tensions
or relaxations of the same.
Violence,
knives,
anything
to
get
the
body
in.
The data of depth, sensibility,
the body of us as
object,
which spontaneously or of its own order produces
experience
of depth
vis-a-vis
sensibility within the organism by movement of its own tissues.
Does anyone have a tissue? Sorry, couldn't help that.
Okay, psychology. The surface,
consciousness. No, we missed that. The data of the...
We did that.
Yeah, sorry.
Psychology, the surface,
consciousness
as ego,
and thus
no
flow,
because
the
senses
of same
are all that said contact area
is
valuable
for.
To report in to central,
inspection
followed
hard
on
heels
by
judgment,
judicum, dotha,
what does
cry,
dotha mean?
In law.
Dotha?
The law. Isn't dotha the law?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Cry. It's crying.
If you must, all feeling
may
flow.
Is all which can count
at
said
point.
Direction outward is
sorrow
or joy.
Or
participation,
active
social
life.
Like for no other reason than
that.
Social life. In the present.
Wash
the
ego
out in
its
own
bath.
Os. Os means bone.
Really?
The cavity
cave.
Probably the unconscious.
That is the interior empty place filled with organs for functions.
The place of the unconscious. The advantage is to, this is important, the advantage is to place the thing instead of it wallowing around sort of outside in the universe, like when the experience of it is interoceptive.
It is inside us and at the same time does not feel literally identical with our own physical or mortal self, the part that can die.
In this sense, likewise the heart, etc., the small intestine, etc., are or can be felt as, and literally they can be, transferred.
Or substituted for,
etc.
The organs, probably also why the old psychology
was chiefly
visceral.
Neither dream nor
the unconscious
was
then
known
as
such or allowably inside.
Action or, again, movement. The demonstration then leads to the same third or corpus, thing or place, the proprioception, one's own ception.
The body itself, as by movement of its own tissues, giving the data of depth. Here then would be what is left out, or what is
physiologically
even the hard, solid, palpable, that
one's
life
is
informed
from and
by
one's own literal
body,
as well that is, as the whole intermechanism which keeps us so damn busy, like eating, sleeping, urinating, dying there, by deterioration of said functions and said organs, that this mid-thing between,
which
is
what gets
buried
like
the
flesh,
bones,
muscles, ligaments, etc., what one uses literally to get about, etc., that this is central, that is, in this half of the picture,
what
they
call the
soul, the intermediary, the intervening thing, the
interrupter,
the resistor,
the self. The gain, to have a third term so that movement or action is home, neither the unconscious nor projection, here used to remove the false opposition of consciousness
is self.
Have a home.
Unless the depth implicit in physical being builds
in
space-time
specifics.
And moving by movement of its own
is
asserted or
and
found out as such.
Thus,
the
advantage of
the
value
proprioception
as
such.
The soul, then, is equally physical,
is
the self,
is such
corpus,
or to levy the game psychology from 1900 or 1885 did supply until it didn't date 1948, the three terms would be
Surface,
senses, projection, cavity,
organs,
hear, read, archetypes,
unconscious, the body itself, consciousness, implicit accuracy, from its own energy as a state of implicit motion.
Identity, therefore,
the universe
is
one,
is supplied, and the abstract primitive character of the real asserted
is placed.
Projection
is discrimination of the object from
the
subject.
And the
unconscious
is
the universe flowing
in
inside.
Okay, I'm going home.
Well, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the 25th time, or the 100th time.
It's good. We could all read it together at the end, but we can have some wine and all read it together. So I know this is gonna, you know, this is uncomfortable, but I'm not gonna say anything. Talk. What do you think? What jumps out at you?
Can I say something?
Yep.
This sounded a lot like what I was studying with David Hawkins. He did muscle testing and kinesiology, and there was one word in here, kinesia, or kinesthesia or something. And that has to do with your body responding and answering through itself, like you can muscle test and put something in your hand, and you will respond to it either true or false as to whether it's good or bad. It's really movement in your body with speaking. Another science. They actually use it with their doctors who practice this and use it for healing people like muscle or basketball players or any sports kind of thing or injury.
Zoom in on any part of this.
It's deep. Very deep. No, really.
Yeah. Can you say more about that?
Well, I'm trying to frame it in the time that Charles, the period in which he wrote this, because it's,
when did
you
he
know,
write
it's,
this
it's
60 what?
60, you know, there were versions, and Amiel actually researched that in his talk two years ago. It was 58, and then the final version was 65.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the past 50 years, there's been, you know, proprioception and kinesiology and kinesthetic, all that stuff has kind of been framed in neuroscience.
Right.
You know, so, and he alludes to sensory, all this stuff in here, but he's using different terminology. And now there's a whole field of philosophy, which is what is consciousness. Mm-hmm. And he really gets into the whole consciousness thing, which is still up for grabs, we don't reckon, but it's very interesting that he was on that path way long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, the sense of yourself, you know, within your skin, you know, so many people have talked about this. The way he talks about it here is, you know, it's very out. It's very, he's drawing all these. When I read this stuff, there are lines that I come across that resonate with me, and then the actual recitation, you know, I get swept under and lost, and then come back up, and you know, it's interesting. It's interesting to read it out loud, because you're evoking your body. You're not, when you're reading it to yourself, you're not talking, and you don't have that sense
voice. It's like reading a play, Henry.
And you're,
no,
you're,
really.
The reverberation of what's happening in your
right.
in your body when you're screaming.
But it's also like being a scientist too. He's talking about it within our cavity of our being,
right.
our physical being. But he's also talking about the soul, and then he's talking about the universe.
Right.
So he's really trying to explore, as a scientist would, all the different angles of this and realizing the interconnectedness of all of this.
It's almost a cosmology
yeah.
Of the human experience. And he was, of course, so reading Olson, which I find very difficult, mm-hmm. I can't say that I really understand a lot of Olson's writings, but he was so, you know, like referencing Chaucer with spooked. Anyone want to venture what that means? I mean, because he always alluded to these very esoteric fields of study that he was familiar with, and he just dashed it off as if, well, you don't know that? You should. Look it up.
Does anyone know if he did any meditation? Olson?
Frank.
There's something that really makes me think about sitting meditation, and you know that was sort of you know before neuroscience,
right?
Thousands
right.
of years before
there was
Buddhist meditation.
I know.
And that idea of finding points in the body and thinking about consciousness and
right.
understanding where we are through
right.
finding out about our bodies
right.
and our insides.
Right.
So I don't know. Just when I was listening, especially to the point where was it? It just sounded very much like the universe. The last
mm-hmm.
line, unconscious of the universe flowing in,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of communication between the kind of universal and
right.
the self is very much a Buddhist meditation.
Right.
That's what I felt.
Idea.
Mm-hmm. I felt the same.
Yeah.
But they say there is no self, so that really made me feel like this is sort of before the really advanced teachings got in. And I'm just wondering, who did he go to school with in Black Mountain? Who inspired him to do this? And did he find this here, or did he find it back there? And, when was he in the Black Mountain?
He was teaching at Black Mountain.
Was he the only one?
No. He was probably ahead of most of the parade.
Yeah, he was one of the founders, wasn't he?
This part about the universe brought a memory back to me. I don't know if anyone remembers Barbara Speck. She lived here in East Gloucester, and she gave different workshops. And one particular that I went to was, you know, with the laundromat is now. She gave a 10-week workshop, and it was called The Whole Body's Way to Better Vision. And we did meditation. She had the master-like series, and each week for 10 weeks, we went deeper and deeper and deeper after doing these different exercises with your muscles and things. And at the last session, we went down so deep that I had this out-of-body experience, and my spirit just left my body. My body was lying on the floor and absolutely paralyzed, and my spirit went up higher and higher and higher, and I actually went out into the universe and circled the earth, and then, you know, to come back into your body again. And it was, you had to put your faith really in God and find who, you know, the master was that would be controlling you at this time, would be protecting you at this time. And I don't even remember driving home after that experience, or even when I went to
wow.
bed. Seeing
they shouldn't have let you drive home.
I know. An hour later, I woke up and seemed that it was morning. And I went and I had an appointment with my chiropractor that morning. He says, "Where have you been?" And he says, look at your countenance,
mm-hmm.
and look at the aura in your body."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "What's happened to you?" And I told him, he says, "Oh, she should charge a lot of money for that." He said, "What did she charge for that workshop?" He thought it was absolutely wonderful. But, all this seems to fit into that.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. And it's covering all planes. It starts with the physical and it goes
yeah.
somewhere else. Which
it took 10 weeks to get there, but it was quite an experience.
You were going to say something.
Well, I... I find myself in a very awkward position. I've been a scientist all my life. I taught anatomy and physiology for 40 or 50 years. I studied sleep research. I've written on the neurosciences and some of the topic that was alluded to earlier. So I have a great deal of difficulty in comprehending quickly the overall purpose of the author here, nor can I make an easy leap to other areas, although I do agree that meditation, as it's studied, as it's recorded by data, can be identified what happens to our bodies. I've never taught proprioceptors in the way that this
mm-hmm.
author has done today.
Mm-hmm.
How have you, Joe?
Well, first of all, it's much more
specific of talking about how the anatomy of these structures are in joints, how the mind is activated, how we know things in our body, back to equilibrium and balance, how we feel things, but it's done through the writings of a physiologist or an anatomist.
F. Scott Sherrington.
Sherrington, certainly, and there are many others more recently,
right,
who write about it now, who are finding certain zones in the brain itself,
mm-hmm,
specific centers that are recording different
would
states.
Would you sit here with... I need you. This is what I've been researching.
No, I don't want to be... I'm trying very hard not to be negative.
No.
Because I don't...
No.
Because I don't comprehend what you're alluding to, and I may be out of place, and I don't want to offend you or anything.
Go right ahead. I'm not alluding to anything, because actually the second half of this evening was going to be to teach proprioception.
Oh, well, then
because that's where I come from,
yeah,
is the real and the anatomical experience,
yes,
of proprioception.
Excuse
but
me,
I,
and I didn't and I didn't answer you fully, Henry.
Huh.
I'll be happy to come back and give a full course of that. I was somewhat evasive. I wasn't prepared to give the kind,
yeah,
of
sure,
response,
sure,
that would be more complete.
Well, we'll have to have
my
come back and you and Kate.
No, no.
Throw
a few rocks at me.
I don't propose to, I find this all this stuff fascinating. His language is fascinating, and as I said, I get like little bits of it. But you know, I can't expound on this stuff. I mean, I think that he is riffing. He is improvising, and he is. You know, this is Olson's stuff is very much a process where he had this concept called isterene, where you find out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of his writing is to prompt people,
mm-hmm,
to sort of dig into it,
mm-hmm,
and to come up with their own, come up with their own ideas. He always said that, the only thing we have are the eyes that we look out of. That, all of us perceive life from a different place because of our own individual natures.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is, a manual.
And Huxley got into, doors of perception, because various things will influence, like Virginia's experience with,
yeah,
meditation, opened other doors of perception that she never would have gotten there had she not taken that 10-week,
mm-hmm,
journey or course or whatever. I come from hard science also, so I tend to intellectualize, that aspects of, but I also, I think I was like in my 50s before I even started thinking in new ways, so it's interesting. I think Olson, he's looking at, I never thought of proprioception other than, a very physical, anatomical, Golgi tendons and all that kind of stuff. But after I went to the first, not, I didn't go last summer, but it was the last month or August,
yeah,
or something, beginning, right? I just thought, whoa, wow, proprioception has a whole other story. And it's interesting, to read his stuff, because it's just it's from so many angles. But I think essentially he's really talking about consciousness.
Mm.
And of course, you can still frame Daniel Dennett. All Daniel Dennett's books on consciousness are very, to me, Cartesian. Very material, but it's all interesting, isn't it though? Really,
yeah.
I think
the one thing that's interesting about this, and it's relating to what both you and Henry are saying, Susan, and that is that he's not sharing his own sense of proprioception within his own self. So it has sort of an academic quality to it. Yet he's alluding to all these things, the meditativeness, the universal, the soul, you know, all these things that we've been bringing up. So I feel like in some ways it was, I mean, I haven't read enough of his stuff to know if, how much he does get into himself, but my impression is that he doesn't typically. And so it's sort of an invitation to start to explore something that he feels that's underexplored by readers, by all of us, by a variety of different people. And I do think how far we've come that, I mean, I told my chiropractor that I was coming to him, he's like, oh, I wish I could come too. You know, and so it's sort of like we're all getting it, that there's something about this topic that really touches our mind, body, spirit, universe, soul, all of those things. It touches all of that. And the whole magic of how we place ourselves in motion and how we fit into spaces and where our size relates to the universe and there's just so much depth here that the fact that he was even writing about it just seems to me like an invitation to explore it further. Mm-hmm.
I've recently been reading a lot of these essays from around the 50s, the 40s and 50s, these dance essays. And a recurring theme, it was this collection of essays called The Dance of Its Many Faces. And a recurring theme of the people at that time, these dance people, they felt that dance was often looked down upon as a physical art sort of throughout the recent history of fellow artists, but also in academia. And it was considered sort of a lower art, like a folk, something folk, or so. And I think partly that had to do with coming from religion, where the body was seen as a place of sin and not as a place of the intelligence. And so I know that in mid-century, I think that it was radical, the idea that intelligence lived in the body, and I think that's something that comes through, you know, about the proprioception is that we are understanding a lot through our bodies and where we are, for one. But how important that was for Olson, understanding where you are in the rest of his work, I think was hugely important, so that there was a link there.
That's interesting you mentioned intelligence, because about, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, this gastrointestinal surgeon wrote a book called The Second Brain.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, has anyone read it?
Yeah. Gut brain.
Yeah, but what he found and what has been found subsequently is that the neurons, which we always considered here, are in other organs, and there are neurons in the heart. And so his book, of course, was based on his experience as a gastrointestinal surgeon, recognizing that he was in neuronal territory. So it's interesting, and when you think about some of the sayings, like when you have gut feelings, or I mean, we seem to anthropomorphize all of our organs to like relate to our feelings, and so he wanted to say, it's there. There are neurons in your heart. There are
Well, you have you have Candace Pert, who died, who was my teacher Bonnie and her worked together, and together back in the 70s they discovered the heart bodies, which are an endocrine. They're actually white, and they're an endocrine quality material that's in the heart that emits juices when emotions shift, and so it connects to the whole.
Yeah, I spoke at a conference with Candace Pert and Marion Diamond, who was the a neuroanatomist who dissected Einstein's brain.
What'd she find?
She found that Einstein's left parietal lobe was larger than the average, but what he really had was the glial cells, which now we understand is what connects all the information. Yeah. So it wasn't just the mass, but it was the glial. But anyway, Candace Pert is...
it's very sad, yeah.
There's a website on... I think I referred to it the last time we were here. It's called Math, Heart Math. And it's all the latest physiology on heart. And so if you just go in into the internet and heart math and you get into all the studies they've done, it's very, very interesting what we're finding. But of course, this was pre-Olson didn't know all this.
Well, let me try to draw some strings together, and then I want to do a couple of experiments that actually comes from my desire to ground my, you know, this manual that I've been reading since my 20s in my own sort of physical experience, which ends up being philosophical, by the way. So because I do think, Sarah, you know, I mean, you're all sort of helping me bring these threads together, but Sarah trips off what I'm about to say, which is that there is intelligence in the body. And I think, you know, in 2 summers ago when I started this, what we're calling proprioception panel, and I have some chapbooks there that mm-hmm. collect all of the talks that happened that 2 summers ago. Really, it was pretty rigorous. It was quite an amazing evening. You know, is that, I just lost my train of thought. Went off into the universe.
The intelligence of the body.
Yeah. I think that Olson knew all of this stuff. I think that what Olson was trying to do in Beatnik times was he was jumping over the first 50 years of the 20th century and going back to Bastian in 1880, which is why he uses 1880, who came up with the term kinesthesia. Mm-hmm. And then I think he was going back even further to echo this man who is an amazing thinker, Johann Riehl, who came up with the original term synesthesia, not kinesthesia, but synesthesia, which is the vital sense. And in the 18th century, the Enlightenment, and I don't want to go into a whole history lesson, but here's where I need your help, is that I'm trying to piece together that there was a certain knowledge and consciousness that was happening in the 18th century, in the beginning of the 19th century, that got thrown out by the 1880s and was left behind until this whole sort of self-body awareness movement happened, the Beatniks. I mean, there's all sorts of things, the Cold War. I mean, we might be able to, you know, link a whole lot of historical sort of causalities around this. But I think Olson was going back to something. He was going back to the humors, mm-hmm. to the Greeks, he was studying the Greeks. I mean, Maximus poems, I mean, you know.
Before the Greeks.
Or before the Greeks. So, you know, two summers ago, I was trying to pull this, and here's my thread. I want to end with a thread, but I was trying to pull this thread.
Well, it's going to be on the end of that, isn't it?
Huh?
Is there something on the end of it?
No. This is, we're going to end with this, but anyway, I'm going to tie everybody up. So I'm going to jump, because then in the 40s, even though... How do I say this? I'm trying to, you know, gather all of these wonderful comments together. But in the 40s, you have new discoveries about that through movement, you develop your brain. Mm-hmm. So that I mean, we leave the 18th century behind. Where's the soul? I mean, here's where, you know, I want to sort of put that in the middle here. It's like, what is the soul doing, both in the 18th century and in here, okay? But in the 40s, you begin to have all these studies of babies and movement and brains and how we go through certain patterns, which is to develop our bodies. And here's where the intelligence comes in. In order to develop our brains, we have to move through certain patterns in order to move, but also I mean, it goes back and forth. So it's through those studies that I studied those studies. And it's through those studies of how babies develop and how the mind develops through movement that I discovered proprioception, the actual feeling of what proprioception is about. And so two summers ago, I gave a little exercise for everybody to do, which I'll do in a minute. And I wanted to go one step further and say, is there a way that we can develop some intelligent physical exercises that in some ways support what Olson's talking about, or what Bastian's talking about, what any of these people are talking about? Is there a way that in through working with each other we can find both the tissues and the depth?
The depth.
So let's, I want to take a break, but before we take a break, and then we'll end at 9:15 or so, let's see if we can find partners. I'm going to redo what we did in August, and I'm going to add something. So find a partner and go push hands with your partner. Like, put your hands together. You did it. And actually, this connects to some work that people do in India, too. Don't touch hands. Go almost to touch hands.
We're gonna go to the golden bodies.
Okay.
So, and again, in the back of your mind where your pineal gland is, which is back here, hold Olson's manual. Even though it's hard to understand, it's here, okay? But now we're in our body. So, very slowly, move towards your partner's hand until you feel their skin, but don't push. And then, kind of like how Henry and I were reading, oh, I love this, he's taking, reading together, dialogue through skin and begin to increase that, I don't want to use pressure, but I'm going to say pressure, until you're really pressing. Not hard, but just pressing. So you have almost like you're doing, waltzing together. So you have, you could get up and dance together.
Do you want our eyes closed, Kate, or?
Oh, no, not necessarily. And then, retreat. Go back. And feel yourself. Just feel yourself. Retreat.
Retreat.
Oh, sorry. We like it. Now, go back and do it again. So go into that air space. I guess I'm calling it air space.
The air space.
And then find your skin. Their skin. Now feel pressure. Stop talking. Feel the pressure and go. Feel the pressure go into your wrists. And then have it travel up to your elbow. And your shoulders, and your heart. And then shoulders, elbows, back off, wrists, hands, skin, air. Comments?
Wow.
Hi. Comments?
Yeah, it's very intimate in a way.
Yeah.
Hi.
Why?
It was hard to tell where Susan, we both said it's sort of hard to tell where Susan ended and I, Susan, began, actually.
Yeah.
And it was hard to break, to pull back, I thought.
Oh,
there's
cool.
Something that felt very good about it.
Yeah. Grounding.
Felt really
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did everybody feel a heat or a feeling of being, you know, like,
yeah, the chi,
you know, going over, yeah, an energy you could feel something,
yeah.
even
yeah.
if you do your own hands
yeah.
with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
But I just came from Qigong in China with a master, and he didn't really teach us. We were taught by his students, and we had every day reflexology, acupuncture, massage, and all about the body. But these people were so sensitive, and there was heat in the hands. It was amazing. And then one day I watched the master, because he would go out before us in the courtyard, and he would do his from 6 to 7. He doesn't speak English. And then the next day I went out with my camera and I just shot him singly as he did his movement. Then the next day I went out and I was going to stand behind him. And he came up to me. He saw, he felt me behind him. He came up and put his hands out. And that meant I put my hands out. And I couldn't believe this.
Oh my God.
And some people were in the rooms and came to the window because they were getting dressed, because we do a class at 7. And it was amazing. I was so scared. You know, this is a master.
So what'd you feel?
It was really hard. I mean, you could feel the same kind of energy, but he would back up and then I'd go and he'd come toward me and we just did the same thing. But this is so ancient. This
mm-hmm.
is from Lao Tzu and the Yeti.
Well,
chain.
I mean, you know,
it's all there.
What I'm trying to have you feel is that the idea or the theory about proprioception, which I'm, you know, I feel like I'm in the room with a master, but
no, not at all.
But what I've learned is that the definition of physical proprioception is that it happens in the joints. It's the end where the tendons end in the joints of the body are the Golgi bodies, which are bodies of structure,
yes.
and they register the pressure in relation to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the earth. It's our connection through one another or to the earth to let us know where we are.
Mm-hmm.
What comes along with that are two other sensations or senses, which are interoception, where we can monitor our organs and our functions as much as we can. And the other is exteroception, which is the sense of the outside or our skin sensing touch. So you have those three perceptions that we use all the time from this very early age as a baby. I'm down here because I'm about to go face down, right? That I think Charles was a mover, so he's got his very big cortex or parietal glial cells. I'm sorry, I have my back to you.
Okay.
So he's got the history stuff. He's got all that stuff he's working with, and then I think he knew about all these baby studies. He read Gesell. He knew Arnold Gesell, who was doing all of the developmental baby studies in the 40s, and I think he was trying to meld psychology, religion, spirituality, and science together in this manual.
Mm.
So, if you wanted to, I didn't want to ask every. You know, I forgot to tell people to bring a blanket, but here I am. I don't care. Here I am on the earth, and I'm feeling. I'm a baby. And I've just been born. This summer. And we'll do this together. But what you did together with your hands is what I'm doing now with the earth. So first, I'm feeling contact. And as soon as I yield to that contact, I feel a push. I feel that I could
the earth is pushing against me because I've yielded to it. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really doing it. Can you see?
Well, you're not levitating it.
No, no. I'm thinking.
Sinking or thinking?
Sinking. So I'm yielding it to a push. This is developmental. And from the push,
I reach. Is this like a baby?
Mm-hmm.
Or like a cobra, right?
I yield to the earth. This is all proprioceptive. I feel the push. I have it under me. I reach.
And I pull. So, oops, sorry. So, the idea in the 40s about this was, Sarah.
Yeah.
Can you stand with me?
Yeah.
So, trying to think of how we can do this. So, maybe stand with 2 feet. I just want to try to demonstrate this. As soon as we make contact, it's a yield. We don't know who's leading who. We don't know where anybody's going. We're meeting each other, okay? This is nice. I'm starting to feel her, but I also know more about where I am, okay? Because I have her, okay? If I really yield to her, obviously I could just fall away, right? We're not going to do that because I'm acting. If I yield to her, there's a push. If I push, wait a minute. Reach, yield, push, reach, hug me, pull. This is the movement that the baby does when he's nursing. The baby is lying there. The nursing pattern is yield, reach, pull. Yield, reach, pull. So part of my, sorry, that's my son.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in connection with that, I think that Olson, I mean, I didn't, you know, I mean, it's like Perini. It's like I walk around Gloucester and it's like, oh, hi, Perini. Not you. Oh, hi. I mean, I feel these people. They're like around. But I have this vision. Who was I talking to on the phone that had a memory of Olson on Middle Street? Do you want to
He's
say that?
He's a massive man. Big man. He had this big cape and he was walking so fast and he was on his way to some meeting somewhere because he was fighting at Solomon's Castle. They called it, they made the platform.
They tore it down.
The big,
oh,
he tore it down, and he fought so hard to keep that building.
So, I mean, you know, like Henry's film, Police Is Now, and the poem, Sorry. Or the manual, that I have this vision of Olson moving through his town, his hometown, you know, of his large body, you know, of his sense of place, of his knowledge of place, and the whole idea of identifying yourself by grounding yourself, by rooting yourself, which then, you know, this summer I have my new question, which is how do you ground yourself if you're in exile?
If you're
in exile.
I wonder how he felt about grounding himself in Worcester.
Because he was born there.
I was born in Worcester.
So here's my new thing that I'm going to leave you with for next time. I mean, we can start. Which is that I came up with this very disturbing idea. Or not disturbing, challenging idea, which is what is the difference between place and space?
Yeah.
In other words, and so then I thought, well, how am I gonna share this with you all in terms of what I mean? There's not enough room. Here, Patrick, you get one. There may not be enough room for all of them. So I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna bring my rhythm soup that I use with the kids. Is that
you know, okay, so, and again, this is metaphorical, this is not scientific, so we're moving into the world of metaphor where place, proprio, one's own place, proprioception is one's own placing oneself, locating oneself. So, okay, I'm going to place myself. Okay? But then, what about, and this is like a dancer question and also like an archaeology question, it's a question about how I feel about New York, for example, is I can, what about, what is this, I'm just looking at this one. You know, it's like, I know where I am because I see that space. I know what that space is. So this is place, you know, and this is space. And Olson uses both of these in his writings. He says, I take space to be the most, what did he say? I take space to be the most important fact of America. Something, something. In
From Folsom Cave to...
From Folsom Cave, you know, in his Melville, you know, his...
Call Me Ishmael.
Call Me Ishmael. So I wanted to leave you with that question. I mean, we can talk about it because we still have about 10 more minutes, but I think that's connected to this poem, is the dynamic between placing and spacing. And then I'm going to read you from Bonnie Cohen, my teacher, one of my teachers. Let me just read you this. Space has consciousness. A lot of what we are often trying to define is matter. But my study of embryology is really turning me around. It's so powerful. I know that I perceive space as energy. And all of a sudden now, from a physicist's point of view, space has more energy than matter. When we're inspired and we have this generative power, when we're creative, we are in space. Because it's instant. It's all of a sudden. It's there. You don't know how you got there. You're here. And then you're there. It's not like I'll gradually go from planning, having the engineer and the creative, and then going to the dance. No. All of a sudden, you're dancing. And it is not doing a process. It's a practice. So, I know I'm throwing all these ideas around, but there's something about the metaphorical idea of proprioception that's connected to space, place, self, the soul. I mean, give me some more words. But I don't know. Think about it for November, because I think we're onto something here. No.
Trying to observe.
Yeah.
I mean, no,
I'm listening to you.
Yeah.
They talk about that negative and positive space in the old days when you learned it. So you see like the ground and you see the composition, and anything between those figures is supposed to be negative space. And I don't think that's
only
true
the space
anymore.
That we're.
I know, but that's what
we have dark
very
matter
linear.
Now with dark energy, and we know that we only actually see 3% of our reality. I mean,
yeah.
We can measure that.
But
so
what I'm saying is the art follows where even. Metaphysics is going, like we're just progressing in all ways, you know, science, metaphysics, spirituality, and art. And
yeah,
creativity.
Well, physics is getting very into metaphysics.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe that's where we're at. Maybe,
right.
I when I was in graduate school, I people use the word metaphysical all the time, and I would go like, what does
right.
that fucking mean?
Right.
You know,
right.
But, I mean, I'm not
no,
criticizing
no,
you,
mean,
but I'm
right.
just saying, you know, I think we are.
We
in
are,
the metaphysical.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's also the idea that space has memory. Place has memory.
Mm-hmm.
There are places in our bodies that have memory.
Mm-hmm.
So we can really sort of continue that conversation about, oh my gosh, we can continue the conversation about, well, what is proprioception connected to memory?
Every cell in the body has memory.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry, I don't have a conclusion, but I you know, just...
There is no conclusion.
There's no conclusion.
Which is kind of the exciting part about it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
we'd be bored. We'd be like, okay.
Well, we're infinite.
Maybe to end, we could, if there's anything that
you know, if you want to say, I want to study this aspect, or I want to work on this paragraph, or anything that you would like to see for November?
There was something about relaxation, which is part of what I teach in proprioception.
Yep.
But I couldn't find it.
It's in the second paragraph.
It's in the second paragraph?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay, so I, you know, because what if that's you, what I...
Yeah, what if you kind of thought about that?
Yeah.
I like that. Maybe we can talk.
Yeah.
I like that idea of people picking something that they want to chew on, and then maybe you could come back and make a little presentation.
Does he ever use the word energy? I didn't notice the word energy in any of that.
Why don't you
look for it?
Yeah. Look for it. I like that. I'm going to write that down. So then you're going to be stuck with your homework.
No, I won't forget.
So. Let's all stand up. No, let's sit down.
This is a trick.
No, sit down now. Now feel your feet.
Stand up.
And relax. And feel that. Feel the gravity. Feel the touch. Feel the contact. And then push yourself up. Head is reaching.
Oh,
like you know, like when you touch the challah, you just everybody touches. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh my God.